Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up today our reflections on St. Peter's teaching from the second chapter of his first letter. It's been so powerful to engage God's word, to engage the apostolic mind, you might say, the renewed mind of an apostle. Remember who Peter was and who Peter is, but also who Peter was. He's the one who Jesus chose. He became the first pope, but you remember his journey and what was revealed to him about himself as he walked with Christ. He had some of the highest moments, and no doubt he had some of the lowest moments. Peter was a lion of a man, but he was also impulsive. He had a moment where Jesus said to the apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, people said, "Lord, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist," and Jesus turns to them and say, "Who do you say that I am?" And his full messianic identity had not yet been fully grasped and revealed, and Peter comes under the inspiration of the grace, of a grace Jesus points out from God the Father, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the long-awaited Messiah of Israel." And Jesus delighted in that, and he said, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That didn't come just from your own power of reasoning, but that came from my Father in heaven, and that was a gift." And Jesus was delighted because the Father was beginning to reveal to Jesus' good friends and giving them faith conviction. Peter declared it. It wasn't just something that Jesus was trying to persuade him, "Hey, would you believe this about me? Believe this about me?" No, he hadn't revealed it fully to them. They were starting to get glimpses. They didn't quite know. And then Peter declares it. What a moment for Peter. And Jesus is saying, "My Father in heaven gave this to you, Peter." And what a chosen moment for Peter. But then just a few minutes later, after they declare he's the Messiah, of course, that meant the thrill that must have gone through the hearts of those apostles, because the whole Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah, and they thought he would be coming to liberate Israel from its oppression, the Roman Empire. And he would be a king like King David, because he's the Messiah would come from that lineage of David, and that he would rescue Israel in this world, in this time, at that point, right? And so imagine what they thought. And then in that moment, Jesus kind of rains on their parade, so to speak, but what he's doing is revealing the truth. He turns to them and says, "Well, let me tell you about the destiny of the Messiah. I'm about to be rejected. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. That's what I've come for." I mean, Jesus came, this Messiah, revealed in the prophet Isaiah, the suffering servant Psalms, but they didn't see it. They didn't anticipate it. Jesus declares it to his intimate friends, and he said, "This is the destiny of the Messiah." And what does Peter do? Peter says, "No, it can't be. No way. Essentially, you're coming to liberate us, Lord. You can't die on a cross. You know, you can't die." And Jesus says, "Peter," and he upbraids him. He rebukes Peter, because what's coming out of Peter's mouth at one moment is a revelation and grace from God the Father. In the next moment, it's coming out of his flesh that's still in many ways subject to demonic influence. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. And of course, Peter, then at the Last Supper, when the very thing Jesus had predicted is about to unfold and Judas is betraying Jesus into the hands of those who will kill him eventually. And then Jesus says at that Passover celebration, was it just indeed that? It was a festive, celebrative meal. And in the context of that festive meal, Jesus said, "Tonight, one of you is going to betray me." And they're all wondering who. And of course, Peter, having supreme confidence now that he's got the picture and that he's definitely strong enough to withstand anything that's coming, he leans into Jesus and says, "Lord, not me." And you could just see Peter, because of who he was, looking around the table and saying, "Lord, I can get that one of these guys might do it, but not me. Uh-uh. I'm made of a little different fiber than these guys. I'm a little wiser. I'm a little tougher, stronger. And you can count on me. I'm your man. I'm going to be right there. I'm going to fight this fight for you, with you. I'm not going to let it happen. It ain't going to come from me." And then Jesus looks at him and said, "Ah, Peter, this very night you'll betray me. You'll deny that you even know me. You'll deny me three times." And Peter's like, "No way, Lord. Don't you know me, Lord? I would never, ever do that." Jesus said, "Tonight it's going to happen." And Peter said, "No, it won't, Lord. I'll die for you." Well, that was really part of what Peter obviously wanted to do. But Peter was not yet aware of the depth of his own weakness, the sin-sick condition of his heart, the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil that was at work in him. And of course, we know what happened. Peter ended up following Jesus at a distance that night because the heat was getting turned up. And friends, you know what? That story's there in part for us to remember and to see who it was who was caught up in that storm and that dark hour, what Jesus called the devil's hour, when he wielded the power of death to intimidate and to enslave. That is, Satan wielded it. And we're at a time, friends, when the cost, like in that moment for St. Peter and the apostles, the cost of following Jesus rose, right? It was right in front of them. And they went from being the life of the party, so to speak, and they were walking with the Messiah. They were the inner core. They were his intimate friends, and they were there when he raised people from the dead, when he fed the 5,000, and everybody was following Jesus for a time. They celebrated him, Hosanna in the highest, when he came into Jerusalem. And the apostles must have felt larger than life. And wow, man, think of it. It's the Messiah, and we're with him, and he's chosen us. And we're the crew. We're his crew. We're his inner ring, so to speak. And we're going to bring about all this. And then it all goes to pot. It all explodes. It all collapses. Darkness starts to take over. And here's Peter in that moment of crisis, when the cost is so high, he follows Jesus at a distance. One of the three, Peter, James, and John, who were Jesus' most intimate circle. They were tight. They were close. Jesus entrusted everything to them. And then Peter, because he was afraid, began to follow Jesus at a distance. He wanted to get distance so he could get to a place of safety, so he could avoid the threat that would fall upon him in being identified with Jesus. What a horrible thing that poor Peter had to experience. But friends, that same thing is in every human heart. That fear of death, that fear of being associated with those who are being mocked and ridiculed and rejected. Well, guess what? In this time and in this hour, in the history of the church, there is a ferocious spiritual battle going on, which St. John Paul II called the final confrontation between the gospel and the anti-gospel, the church and the anti-church. Christ and the Antichrist is happening, and he said this battle lies within the plans of divine providence, and all of God's people everywhere are called into this battle. And Pope Benedict XVI just said recently, you know, there's an anti-Christian creed that people are saluting, that they're confessing across the world, that's emerged. He said its origin is the Antichrist. Christ is the Antichrist himself. It's a demonic doctrine. And human beings all over the world are aligning themselves with it. And that means they're aligning themselves against Christ. And there's greater and greater pressure to conform to this new creed that everybody's calling good. Because human beings are trapped in sin and darkness and have compromised, and a former Catholics fallen away from the faith are asserting these things, walking into a slavery and darkness, and beginning to call good evil and evil good, I think, as Jeremiah, the prophet, describes it. And that battle is intensifying, and lots of people are tempted to begin to follow Jesus at a distance. Well, friends, this is the hour of sanctity. This is the hour of being able to live a truly fulfilling, heroic, meaningful life. Don't miss the moment and the opportunity here to be strong and courageous, to, you know, the definition of courage that I've taken from Joseph Pieper. I've said on the program many times, you know, what's needed is this gift of fortitude and courage that's rooted in the healthy fear of the Lord, that gives us wisdom and keeps us sane in the midst of very confusing storms and pressure like this, when we're tempted. When we're tempted to conform or to just back away and go run and hide so we can avoid the storm, so we don't have to go to battle. But it's unavoidable. Courage is the willingness to sustain a wound in the defense of what is true, what's good, what's beautiful. Now, our Lord is being crucified again, you might say. And that's not melodrama. It's not an exaggeration. It's happening. And we're called, as Peter told us, this is a time we have to remember, who am I? You're chosen. You're part of a chosen race of people who are baptized into Christ. The new humanity, which is already living in the life of the kingdom to come. We already have been given a down payment of the very resurrected life of Jesus Christ in baptism. The down payment is the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said he would give to us, who would lead us to all truth. He would lead us, he would tell us, he would remind us everything that Jesus taught us. He would give us strength where we need it. And Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and I'm with you always until the end of the age. Don't worry, don't fear. And he's with us in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, this chosen race of people, a royal priesthood. That means our identity, friends, we live and exist to offer sacrifices of praise to God, to declare his marvelous deeds, to offer worship to Christ. Of course, in the central place we do it, we're meant to be strengthened there and fed and bound together in support of one another's at the Eucharistic table. We're united to the courageous act of love that Jesus offered on our behalf on Calvary. That reality is meant to come alive in us. The courage that sustained Jesus is the courage that will sustain us. The wisdom that Jesus lived by in his filial fear of God, that was so perfect and so beautiful, expressed in perfect love. He trusted God in the most shocking, horrible, difficult path you can imagine. But he knew living out the Father's commands is the way to live and the way to have life. Let's offer our lives daily as a living sacrifice. St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, your spiritual worship. That means walk with God, talk with God, love neighbor, love yourself in God. Give yourself as a gift, as Christ did, knowing it doesn't matter, this world, clinging to all the position, the posture, the inner ring, the recognition, the affirmation of the world, that's all going to pass. Cling to what's eternal. You're a holy nation. Be set apart now. You're God's own people. Let's stay in that identity. Let's walk in that identity. Let's help each other live that identity in the power of the Holy Spirit and in communion with one another in the church for his glory. God bless you, friends. Have a blessed weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.